Anshin Tigers English News is back on the airwaves. I am Game Time broadcaster T-Ray. Today is August the 10th, and this is episode 117. Welcome to the show. That's right, I am recording right now during the broadcast of the game between the Bay Stars and the Tigers. It is the bottom of the 8th, and the Tigers are down 5-4. That is besides the point. Guess what, everybody? I've got nobody with me today. No co-host, no special guest, and you know what that means? It just means that H10, and that includes myself, we're not employed by H10, we're not employed by the Tigers. We do this on our own time, and sometimes that time is just not available. And so here we are, regardless of JD's absence and Sanjay's absence. I hope that you feel like this is a great show as we talk about good Yusuke and bad Oyama. This is the tale of two men, really. I mean, one of them comes and hits home runs in three consecutive games, and the other one goes 11 games without hardly a hit of any significance whatsoever. And for your number four batter, that's just not cool. Well, we're going to talk more about that later. But before we get into that, we're going to get into the rumors and news and the recaps. So we've got some news to report to you. Some of it is on the injury front. And so first of all, Koki Moriya, who has been out for much of this season, threw in a farm game on August the 7th against the Hiroshima Carp. He threw a clean inning. And so that's a good indication that he might be on the way back, which is exactly what we need, is it not? We need some good relievers here. So hopefully he will be able to come back soon. Hiroya Shimamoto, another injured reliever, he just started throwing recently. He started playing catch on the third, and he did a bullpen with a catcher that was standing, and that was on August the 8th. And the Bay Stars just scored run number 6 of the game. Uh-oh. Attaboy, Kyuji. Okay, let's continue on. Jeffrey Marte, we were all looking forward to his return to the lineup. We're looking forward to him recovering from the calf injury, but he re-aggravated it in a farm game on the 8th of August. He actually grounded out to center field, if you can believe that. I didn't see it, but I'm guessing that he hit the ball and then he was unable to run out of the batter's box and got thrown out at first. Really unfortunate. And it's the same calf that he had injured earlier in the season, and so that does not look good for him or for us. Actually, in that same game, our second-year shortstop, Ryuhei Obata, fouled a pitch off his own face. He broke his nose, but he is still practicing and he was still on the bench in today's farm game. So it looks like he is still rolling, even though he's got a broken nose. Maybe, taking a page out of Toritani's book right there. As for one more injury, Kento Itohara, who got injured a couple of weeks back already, he is back to playing catch and even fielding grounders. He started playing catch on August the 5th. And he was fielding grounders on August the 8th, or so was reported. Of course, being the pandemic season and this being T-Ray, who is not a reporter, I haven't seen any of this with my own eyes. I've only read it, so I'm giving you the news. Okay, a couple more things, just some send-downs and call-ups. We'll get into this during the recaps a bit, but Kazuo Ito, who is now of Biohazard Infamy, and that's T-Ray's naming of the trio in the bullpen, Kosuke Baba, Kazuo Ito, and Ippei Ogawa, Bio. They have been a wreck, just like a biohazard, and so that's the nickname. Anyways, Ito of Biohazard got sent down to the farm, and Yuya Onaka got brought up. And so if he ends up being a hazard as well, we've got BOO, which is either really bad body odor, or it's boo for some bad pitchers. So I'm hoping that it doesn't end up that way. I hope that he does a good job out of the bullpen. But that's what we got. And lastly, today, Kairi Shimada, who was like pinch runner number 4 on the team. We talked about this, I think, in last episode about what are we doing with our bench. He got sent down at long last. And Shun Takayama got the call up after having a good stint on the farm. So I think now you're caught up with player news. Before we get into the recaps, I want to send some shout outs to the patrons. And remember that we have a Patreon and we're doing a lot of extra content for the fine folk out there who want more hunting tigers in their lives. H10 is the only place that is going to provide it for you. And so if you'd like to, feel free to sign up for that. Okay, we want to thank the Tokyo Swallows. And that would not be the actual team, but the podcast / webpage, which is partly run by Kozo, who is out in the Tokyo area. He is one of our patrons. And thank you for the 20 runs that we're going to talk about soon. But no thanks for the two losses that you hung us after that. We also want to send a shout out to Stephen Green, who is the founder of Rock Core. And then also, we want to send a couple more shout outs. One is to one of our newest patrons, Anita. Anita is actually a good friend of mine, and she is going to be either guesting on this show or she's going to be helping me to provide some more exciting content in a different way. And also Zorni, who is our graphic designer, who's done a ton of work, who actually co-authored To Talkin' Torakichi with me just a couple days back. Be sure to check that out on the H10 webpage. He is hoping to come out to Japan at the end of this year, hopefully before the season ends, and hopefully T-Ray and him will be able to take in a ball game. Thanks to all the patrons out there, but especially those four. So I alluded to this in the shout outs to the patrons, but we had a very good start to the week. We played three in Tokyo against the Yakult Swallows, and the very first game we absolutely pounded them to the tune of 20 runs on their 5 runs. Actually, they hit 3 home runs and so did we, but ours accounted for 11 of our 20 runs, with Justin Bohr hitting a Grand Slam home run in the top of the second, Jerry Sands hitting one in the top of the fourth, and then Seiya Kinami hitting a 3-run shot in the top of the 6th. We got 9 more runs around that and absolutely had them cowering. I think they hit a three-run, a solo, and a solo for their 5 runs, all coming against Takumi Akiyama, who went the distance, threw a lot of pitches, and then was deactivated, but has since been reactivated. So 20-5, this team has put up 20 runs 5 times in its team history, plus this one, so the 6th time. The last 3 of those, they lost the following game and make it a 4-game losing streak because we put up a stinker, losing 3-1 against them on Wednesday. Opened the game with a run, and we actually had a great chance to do more than that because we shredded into them in the first inning, and I think we had the bases loaded when we ended up petering out there, and that was it for us. They got a 2-run home run from Murakami in the 4th, and then they got another home run from Shiomi in the 6th, beat us 3-1. In that one. So the series is tied and we go up against Keiji Takahashi and we bring Fujinami to the mound for the rubber match. And Fujinami actually did quite well, aside from the one run that he gave up in the second inning and then some unearned runs later. He was just fine. So I'm going to start with the good news because that's all we got going for us here, and that would be his stat line. 7 innings pitched, 8 hits against, only 1 walk, and that was in the first inning, 10 strikeouts, and 4 runs, one of them earned. And then Ippei, part of Biohazard, came in and gave up a couple runs in the bottom of the 8th. We got all of 3 hits in that game. So we lost 6-0 and we lost the series 2-1. I think this was our first series loss in a long time. We had been on a good roll of either winning or I think we split one series down the middle. But we lost this one. And the losing actually continues, or the not winning of series continues. We come home and we face the DeNA, the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars. And in the first game, we had Aoyagi on the mound and they had Kami Chatani on the mound. We went out to a 3-0 lead with an Umeno home run, and then they chipped away at it and got 1 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, and we ended up tying that one 3-3. We had chances, but we couldn't put it together. The next day was really ugly. Nishi was on the mound, and usually with Nishi, things are not so ugly, but he gave up 4 home runs And then Nomi gave up another home run, and we ended up losing 7-3. And then it was looking like, okay, well, we better not, lose this third one as well. Fortunately, we won. Iwasada allowed a home run on the first pitch of the game. So, you know, following the 5-home run night for the Bay Stars the day before, they got one on the first pitch of this game, and it was looking like, oh, here we go again. But that's all they got. And the rest of the way, we calmed down. Oyama with a Texas leaguer in the sixth inning to give us a lead, and then we put an insurance run up later. We win that one 3-1. And split that series right down the middle. So after that, we hosted the Tokyo Yomiuri Giants for 3 games from August 4th to 6th. In the first one, we could not figure out Sugano. We got a 2-run home run to give us hope. So it was 3-2 because we had fallen behind in this one. I think Garcia was on the mound for it. But then Baba and Seiya Kinami with a crucial error. We looked really bad in this one, dashed it. We lost it 2-7. The very next day, Fujinami is on the mound. It's looking good. Again, he was doing quite well, but the bats did absolutely nothing for us. So we actually, Fujinami committed an error again in this one. He was very good. Other than that, and Itoi and Oyama blew the only chance that we had in this game in the eighth inning. I think that we got our one run because Itoi magically broke up a double play, but it was actually just their guy holding on to the ball a bit too long. It should have been an inning-ending double play, and we should have been shut out that game. Anyways, we lost that one, so we've lost 2 straight to the Giants here, which is looking like typical us. But then Haruto Takahashi comes in, makes his debut on the season, and through 5 innings, he struck out 11 Giants. This is his first game of the season, folks. So this is what we've been missing. This is the guy that I predicted was going to lead the team in strikeouts this year. I didn't think it would take this long for him to get back, but you know, he's still got a chance the way that he pitched in that game. He went 7 innings, didn't strike out any more guys, but 7 shutout innings. And we knocked CC Mercedes out in the 4th inning, which is great because we've never been able to figure him out in the past. We also had a big 8th inning in which Nakatani hit a Grand Slam home run. We ended up winning this one 11-0, and that was only because their position guy, Daiki Masuda, came into the game and pitched the 2 final outs of the game without allowing us any more runs. He did walk one guy, mind you. So we win 1 and lose 2 against the Giants, fortunate to not be swept there. And we go into Hiroshima, and it's the same song and dance right there as well. We're fortunate we didn't get swept. The first game, Aoyagi got torn to pieces early on, giving up 10 hits and 6 runs through 2 innings. He pitched one more inning and then he was done. It was 6-0. We brought it back to 6-4, but then the biohazard happened. Ogawa allowing a couple of runs, and then Ito allowing 3 more runs. So it's 11-4, and we got 2 more on the board. Just a side note, Aoyagi was not great, but he was not by any means like lit up. He allowed 1 3-run home run. But the other ones, a lot of them were like infield hits or choppers that just happened to go over our infield, or, you know, seeing eye singles. Still, not a good showing for him. The second game, this one was Nishi against Oseda. So ace against ace. It was a low-scoring affair. It was 1-1 heading into the 7th inning. We had runners on 1st and 3rd with no outs. Umeno with a little chopper that went to pitcher. Sands got thrown out at 3rd, and then we loaded the bases with 1 out, and Fukudome came in as a pinch hitter and hit into a double play, so we got no runs in that huge opportunity. Kyuji comes in the bottom of the inning, walks a guy who has like no track record, and then tries to pick him off, throws that wildly, so he gets to second base, and then he gives up the game-winning single. We lose that one 1-2. Again, possibility of being swept here, but Akiyama comes to our rescue. He started this recap. He's going to finish it as well. He went 6 innings, allowing 1 hit, 1 run as well. Chikamoto with some great fielding. Oyama was really good in this one. He hit a home run. I think he had a home run in the previous game as well. That was our one and only run in that one. But he hit a home run, a triple, and a double in this one. Gunko came in relief for 2 innings pitched. Clean innings, and Suarez shut it down, although he did load the bases up to make it real nervous, because if they had hit a Grand Slam home run, it would have been a tie game. And then that brings us all the way to today's game. And look where we are. We are one out away from losing this one. It is 6-4. Somebody just hit into a double play to get Bohr off the base path because he had led off the inning with a single. And here we go with Kai Ueda, or I think. It's two balls and one strike. So anyways, I'm going to assume that we're going to lose this one 6-4. But let's go through it anyways. Oyama led us off with a home run again. So three straight games with a home run. After that, they tied it up soon after that. Iwasada fell apart in the fourth inning. Did not go beyond that. And they got another run off of they got two runs off of Mochizuki. And then Kyuji gave up the sixth run. We brought it up to 5-4. Until Kyuji gave up that sixth run. And so we end up losing this one 6-4. Ueda just grounded out to second, so it's game over. And there you have it. The Tigers have lost the opener in Yokohama. Not a good thing. Anyhow, we need to win these next two in Yokohama. So there you have it. We'd predicted a much better record for this team than we actually ended up with. It looks like we have hit the skids really hard, and hopefully we are going to figure out how to put together a solid game with good relief pitching, with good timely hitting, but it just has not been happening of late. Any comments from you? Oh, right, I'm by myself. Okay. So I breathe in, I breathe out, and it's time for us to go into the player of the month. What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall. Hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your player of the month. Now, this is the first time we have done this season, because July was the very first month that we actually had a full month of baseball. So we're skipping over June because, like, who wants to remember June as a Hanshin Tigers fan, right? Okay, so we skip over that. We go straight into July. And this is what we've got. We had a really good month. I think our record on the month was something like 14-8-2. And we had some really good hitting. We had some pretty good pitching as well. And so let's actually look at this. I got a note from our guy Sanjay, and he has picked for us a pitcher of the month, and he's going with Koyo Aoyagi. Not a bad choice. Let's run down his July line. He actually kind of sputtered towards the end of July, but was doing fairly well. On four starts, he went three quality starts, three wins, no losses, an ERA of 2.96, 14 strikeouts, eight walks, and that is his line. And I'm going to respectfully disagree with that choice by Sanjay, and I'm going to say our ace Yuki Nishi was still outstanding in July with an ERA of 2.08, four starts, one complete game, four quality starts, two wins, one loss. He had 26 strikeouts in 30.1 innings. Walking just five guys and allowing just seven runs in his four starts, and still only managing to get two wins out of that, and somehow getting hung with the loss. That was in a game that he went seven innings pitched, one run against. So tough luck loser there. Yuki Nishi is my man. Okay, let's move on to the hitters then. And Sanjay has given us Ryutaro Umeno. He said, among other guys who did well, Umeno is the catcher, and a lot more is expected of him or demanded of him on the defensive end. So his 367 batting average combined with two home runs, 10 RBIs, 13 runs scored, 15 walks against 15 strikeouts, two stolen bases, an OPS of 974, and hitting 333 with runners in scoring position, all while playing outstanding at the catcher position, are enough to give him the nod. And I love that call. Let me run through a couple other guys that could get the nod. One of those would be the topic of today's show, and that's Yusuke Oyama. If you look at his July numbers, real quick, he batted 299 with 8 home runs, 20 RBIs, 15 runs scored, 12 strikeouts and 7 walks, an OPS of 1.002, and actually hitting 286 with runners in scoring position. Not bad, not bad at all. We also have Justin Bour, who had a pretty good month of July after his June that left a lot to be desired. He batted 296 with 7 home runs, 18 RBIs, 10 runs scored, 20 strikeouts against 9 walks, an OPS of 984. So you look at that, like our cleanup guys were pretty good there. he also hit 353 with runners in scoring position. And I preface you with all of that to give you my player of the month, my hitter of the month for July. And that would be none other than Mr. Jerry Sands, whose batting average was not quite as high as some of the other guys. He batted 321 on the month. He had 5 home runs, which is fewer than Oyama and also Bour. 17 RBIs, which is second for on the team in the month. 13 runs scored, 21 strikeouts, 12 walks. His OPS was 989, so just a little bit below Oyama. But what gets it for me, I can't believe I'm reading this right, but he batted 615 with runners in scoring position. You talk about clutch. You talk about we need a run and we need it right now. And he's given it to you. And so his July was absolutely outstanding. He also made some fine plays on the field as well. You know, nothing like Umeno, but still, I am giving it to Mr. Jerry Sands. How you like that? And no show would be complete without us giving a couple of digs to our manager, Akihiro Yano. So let's talk a little bit about our manager. So some of the decisions that, of course, some of this is retrospect and some of it is not understanding the relationship between him and the players, the trust that he has built up, us not being able to see practices, us being able to see things after the fact. But here's what I've got. Still using Itoi despite his laziness in the field and his lack of results at the plate, Itoi has actually been quite smelly, particularly this month. But if we look at his numbers, okay, for August, even July, batting 188, August batting 188, and was still being used. He did not start today, but still, he has been leaned on way too much for a guy that is batting so poorly and not doing anything in the field, not doing anything on the base paths. So that's my first beef with our man, Yano. The second one, of course, is Biohazard. Stop plugging in. Baba, well, he's the most acceptable of the three. Stop plugging in Ippei Ogawa and stop plugging in Kazuo Ito. Into games, ever. I don't think that Ito needs to be called up to the top squad ever again. The guy's 30 years old, going on 31 this offseason. This is probably the most he's ever played in a single season of his career, and he has not done anything with it to earn trust or respect from the coaches or the fans. So that's number two. And then number three is that game against the Carp that we lost 2-1, where I just talked about the seventh inning. That, again, we're talking about, you know, guys that actually... You know, Yano, or one guy that Yano played alongside, and the other one that is almost the same age as Yano, for crying out loud. But using Fukudome in that situation when Nakatani has actually been doing quite well as a pinch hitter, why didn't he plug him in there instead? So I think maybe it might be that, you know, this is a veteran that's been with the team, you know, this is eighth year. He has carried the team through thick and thin, and, you know, if anyone's going to do it in this situation, it's Kosuke. Was probably the thinking, but you know, Fukudome's batting 190 on the year. And again, Nakatani's sample size is very small, but he's batting 385, including that grand slam a few days prior, including an RBI single the day before, and including he had an RBI, it was a ground out, but he had an RBI today as well. So he's getting the job done. I just didn't understand why he had to use Fukudome in that situation. And then using Kyuji, who's been struggling all year, and even in the few games before this where he put up some zeros, he still didn't have clean innings. He's still walking a guy every inning. He did it again today. He walked a guy on 4 pitches. I don't understand why he used him in a game that was tied 1-1 where our momentum got crushed in the top of the inning. I mean, like, I would have used Mochizuki there, who was, until tonight, flawless on the year. You got to do better than that with your choices, Yano. But we still love you. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Well, ladies and folks and gentlemen, it is time for the main dish. We are talking about our man, Yusuke Oyama. And keep in mind, I decided this topic probably 3 days ago. Actually, I decided it the day that he hit the home run against the Carp in the game that we lost 2-1. I was like, we got to talk about this guy because there is something wrong here. And then you know what happened? Sunday, he hit a home run, a triple, and a double. Today, he hit another home run plus a single. So somebody lit a fire under him. It might have been like, I don't know. I don't have a voodoo doll or anything, but it might have been some kind of like radar love right there where I just said his name. I thought about him and he said, oh, T-Ray's thinking about me. I better start to produce again. Well, Yusuke Oyama, if you don't know, was our first round draft pick in 2016. And the hopes were that he would be the third baseman and he would be the number four hitter of the future for this team. And in his first year, he started on the farm. He came in and he hit 7 home runs and 38 RBIs in part-time work. I think he played about a half season worth. And he finished second in Rookie of the Year voting, which was kind of a bit of a farce. But anyways, the next year, which was Kanemoto's last, he started quite well. He had a couple of home runs early in the season. I think in the first 3 or 4 games of the year, he had 2 home runs. And then he went complete silent for April, May, June, July, August. And then in September, he just completely went on fire, just like he's done a couple times already this season. I think he hit like 7 or 8 home runs in a span of 2 weeks. It was 8. It was 8 home runs in 2 weeks. His slugging percentage in September, and that was as of like the middle of the month, his slugging was over 1,000. Not his OPS, his slugging was over 1,000. So he was completely cold for like 4 months, and then for like a 3-week spurt, he was red hot. And then he kind of tapered off again at the end of the season. But the hopes were then he was going to be the guy. And in 2019, he sat in that number 4 spot, which is of course like the most important position in Hanshin folklore and in Hanshin present day. And he... Well, he didn't meet expectations. If you look at his numbers, though, on the whole, they're not terrible. I mean, he's got 33 doubles, 14 home runs, which is a career best, 76 RBIs, which led the team. So did his 14 home runs, by the way. But then you look at other numbers. Somehow he ended up hitting .318 with runners in scoring position, but it never seemed to happen when it mattered. He had 20 errors on the season, and his OPS was a career worst 714, which is way lower than you would expect out of your number 4 hitter, and especially the slugger of the future. So, enter 2020. He was really good during the preseason, batting .378 and leading all of NPB in preseason batting average, but he still started the year on the bench behind Jeffrey Marte, who was doing quite well, fielding at third and even hitting. Marte was the man for the first month of the year. The first like 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks, Oyama was on the bench doing very little. So the day that Marte got hurt and Oyama replaced him, he got 2 hits. 2 more hits the next day, 2 more hits the next day, and then 1, then 1, then 3. 3 home runs in his first 4 games. Then he went a little bit silent for a while. Then he came back and he hit 5 more home runs in an 8-game stretch. So he's looking really good. His OPS is over 1,000. And then he crashes and goes 10 games without a home run, which is not too bad. But during that span, he had 1 extra base hit. And also during that span, he had 4 RBIs. Now, out of your number 4 hitter, who came up in tons of great situations to get only 4 RBIs in 10 games, is not acceptable. And, you know, players go through good and bad stretches, so I'm not saying that, you know, he's a terrible hitter or anything like that. He certainly is not. But I will also say this. So the day that I decided that we needed to talk about Oyama, he went 1-for-5 with a home run. That was on August the 8th, Saturday. He went 1-for-4, pardon me. He was the third out of the game those other 3 times that he came up. He had opportunities, some of them with the game on the line. Remember, we lost this one 2-1. So he got the first run on a home run. And then after that, he came up with two outs. And I think two or three of those times he had runners on base, was unable to do anything with them. And so I was like, man, I don't know what it is about this guy, but it just seems like pressure is not his thing. He does not thrive under pressure. And so I'm going to also give you this here as well. Well, first, let's talk about his numbers on the season so far. Okay, heading into tonight's game, he was batting .277. That's 36 out of 130 with 6 doubles, 10 home runs. That's now up to 11. 25 RBIs. That's now up to 26. And his OPS heading into tonight was 918, which is way above his career average. It would be a career best for him by a long shot. And certainly, like, his 11 home runs now in 39 games played for him, I mean, that puts him on pace for like 30 home runs in a shortened season. So I'm not going to complain about his production at all. What I am going to kind of question or just look at a little bit more deeply with you are some of his tendencies. As you might know, he tends to swing at the first pitch or the first strike. And so I did a little bit of digging and I saw that his average on the season when swinging at or making connection with that first strike has been just .282, which is about the same as his batting average on the year. Another thing I noticed about him is, interestingly, he's only come up to the plate with multiple runners on base 15 times. During those 15 at-bats, though, he has gone 3 for 15. So he seems to do quite a bit better when there's either nobody on base or when there's only one guy on base. Even after yesterday's 3 extra base hit performance, he was batting .219 for August with a .265 on-base percentage and a .500 slug. Not great. He's batting .242 with runners in scoring position this year. And heading into tonight, when we were behind in games, which is when you kind of need those runs, right? He bats .071 with runners in scoring position when we are behind in games. His K to BB ratio was quite poor as well. Heading into tonight, it was 23 strikeouts to 9 walks. I think that for a guy who's a number 4 hitter, and I think Kakefu will back me up on this. So Kakefu-san, if you want to like send me a message and let me know if you agree with this, your number 4 batter has got to be able to take more pitches and draw more walks. If you want to ever hit 300, you have to be able to draw walks. And I'm not saying 300 is the be-all, end-all or anything, but certainly it's something to strive for, right? Couple more things about Oyama. He is absolutely annihilating the Hiroshima Carp. He's batting .406 against them. And he's also got a .441 on-base percentage and slugging .163 against them. That's an OPS of like 1.5. Okay. He's also terrible against the Swallows, batting .077 against them, 200 on-base percentage, and a .154 slugging percentage. So his OPS there is .354. His favorite stadiums where he crushes at, and that includes tonight, I don't have the numbers, but Mazda Zoom Zoom in Hiroshima, he's done very well. And then in Yokohama, he has done quite well this year as well. And that continued here. Now, I've got no advice for Yusuke Oyama because I've never played professional baseball. I have never been coached at like proper baseball. I don't know mechanics. I don't know anything, but I do know that I think he needs to mix things up a little bit more. I think he needs to stop swinging at the first strike, which is not always a bad strategy. Sometimes the first strike is the best strike you're going to get. But, you know, when pitchers have figured that out, they're going to, you know, they're going to catch up to that and say, okay, well, I'm going to throw him a pitch that's just barely in the zone or out of the zone that he's going to chase. And he's going to have a lot of low quality at-bats, which is my beef with him. It's not that he's not producing. It's that the at-bats where he's not producing are very low quality. And I think that's what we need from him in order for him to take that next step to be an elite hitter in this league, is he needs to have quality at-bats even when he's not getting hits and home runs. What that means is advancing runners. What that means is drawing some walks. What that means is maybe, you know, battling out some long at-bats with these pitchers so that the guys behind you get to see more pitches, so that the guys behind you get to face more tired pitchers. I think also he needs to just get that extra, you know, killer instinct. And like I said, when we are behind in games, and I think this is probably the case last year, I don't have those numbers, but when we're behind, he just seems to shrivel up and he's not producing in those moments where he needs to. So that's what I'd love to see out of Oyama. What do you think about him? Do you like him? Do you not like him? Are you rooting for him? Do you think he's going to be, you know, part of Samurai Japan sometime? Is he going to lead the Tigers to greatness? Or is he going to just be a middling guy? Does he need to be replaced as number four hitter? I'd love to hear your comments. You can either, you know, hit me up on any of the social media channels or even on the website if you want to comment straight on this episode page. You can do that as well.
What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be?
So, as I mentioned in my YouTube preview of this series against the Bay Stars, the high school kids are playing at Koshien Stadium, and the full tournament is not on, but representatives from different prefectures are getting to play one friendly game against another team from another prefecture at Koshien. And so our boys are vacating again in August as they have been doing year in and year out. And that explains them going to Hiroshima and now being in Yokohama. Will be at Kyocera Dome for a home series against the Carp. And then we're on the road again in Tokyo against the Giants and Swallows before coming back to Koshien. So we've got those four series, Bay Stars, Carp, Giants, and Swallows. How are we going to do in these? Well, we already lost today, so that leaves us with 11 more games. How are we going to do in those 11 games? Quite honestly, we're playing against the Giants in their home stadium. We're playing against the Swallows. We went 1-2 against them last time at Jingu. I think they're on their way down a little bit, so I think we can take two there. We'll be lucky to take one against the Giants, although I will also say this. Last time we faced the front end of their rotation. This time we're probably not going to be facing Sugano, so that's going to help. And hopefully we'll have our front end of our rotation against them this time around. And then we're at home against the Carp, and it might just be a repeat of the same thing as last time, except that we won't have Aoyagi in there, because I think he's pitching on Wednesday against the Bay Stars. Instead, we're going to have Haruto against the Carp, as far as I know. Fujinami. And then maybe Haruto Takahashi is going to come back against the Giants. So anyhow, honestly, I think we're going to be lucky if we go over 500 in these next 11 games. I'm going to say that we go 6-5 just because I want to be optimistic. But what do you think? I mean, we really need to, now that we're three games behind below 500, we need to do better than 6-5 even. But, you know, time is running out on this team. I think that people are going to start to lose hope if they don't pick things up again as they did earlier in July. Well, I am just about out of breath and out of voice from being the only one talking. Man, I really miss you, JD. I miss you, Sanjay. I hope you guys are back for episode 118. Thank you all for sticking around with me during this monologue, this diatribe, this ranting. And I just can't do it without a co-host anymore. If you would recall, or if you've been with us long enough, you might remember that back in 2017, I think I did the whole season pretty much solo. And those were not so easy, but certainly, like, I'm just rusty without having a co-host with me. So thank you for tuning in to H10, and if you haven't gotten your fill of the Tigers news here, check us out on Patreon. We're doing some great stuff there, and I'm getting some good reviews from the patrons, and I love all of the support I'm getting there. And it's just a lively community. People are making comments, sharing stories with me and stuff. Please join us there. Check us out on the website as well. All the stuff on the website is free. I'm on Twitter, at the Hanshin Tiger. I'm on Instagram, at Hanshin Tigers English News. I am on Facebook, at Hanshin Tigers English News as well. All those details are in the show notes. I'm going to catch you all next time in 2 weeks. And here's the hoping that the Hanshin Tigers are riding high the next time we talk. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy your fortnight.